Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
Good to be back here again with you in the studio.
I'm glad we're back in the studio.
In the studio.
I think you were in the Himalayas last week.
I was 7 miles from Jerusalem last week.
You were
in a town called Emmaus? You may have heard of it.
I walked there once. Oh,
you
no,
did?
No.
Yeah. It's a day's journey.
Took about 3 hours.
Yeah, it's a day's journey.
Yeah, but that was an awesome walk to Emmaus.
Yeah.
Wow. If you heard last week's show, you'll know what we're talking about. If we didn't, well, you really missed out. No, you can go to giftofgraceministries.org and listen to that. And
in the archives.
Listen to whatever show you'd like going back to 2009. And in fact, I think the first show on that webpage was a show we did in April of 2009 about the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a story that's always awesome.
Yeah.
And if 100 years from now, if Jesus hasn't come back, and I, of course, hope he comes back today. But if he hasn't come back in 100 years, it'll still be an awesome radio show to do, except somebody else will be doing it.
Yeah.
It won't be us.
Won't be us.
But anyway, we're not going to redo that, but you know the story. These two guys are walking. Jesus comes and walks with them. They're restrained from identifying him. He recounts. First, he gets mad at them that they don't understand the scriptures. Because, you know, he expects us to know the scriptures. He expected everybody to know the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why he always said, haven't you heard? Haven't you read? Or did you guys hear this in the synagogue? Or did you just go for the coffee and donuts? And then he explained to them, starting with Moses and going through the prophets, everything that was about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were so excited. Their hearts were burning because of this awesome Bible study. They invited him in the house. He broke the bread, which at that point was unleavened bread because they were still in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then they recognized him and he vanished.
Yeah.
I think that's where we left off.
It was.
I think it's pretty neat. And then we were speculating whether these guys may have been at the Last Supper when he said the blessing over the bread and broke it. That would have really been a powerful experience. But whether they were or they weren't, they recognized him in the breaking of the bread.
Yeah. Because it says that, you know, that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. So most likely they were part of the followers of Jesus.
Yes.
They weren't just some random guys that were like,
right.
Because they were talking about everything that had taken place in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I mean, if you think about it, Jesus being put to death in the manner that he was executed was horrific.
Hmm. Yes.
And following someone for 3 years, believing that they are the Messiah and that they are going to restore the kingdom of Israel, and then having all that basically dashed in an afternoon because he was arrested, had a mock trial, and was condemned to death.
Yes.
And then crucified. So, you know, you can only imagine what somebody would go through if that happened to them. And you're walking with this person and you're talking with this person and he's teaching you.
Yes.
And your hearts are stirred as he's teaching you.
And they may have witnessed the crucifixion.
Yeah.
I mean, they may have seen him be put into the tomb. It sounds like they don't quite believe the story of the resurrection.
Yeah, true.
So they're pretty despondent at this point.
What I'm thinking of is how dismayed they may have been. And, you know, it's almost like when John F. Kennedy was assassinated and the hope that was in this country, and then it was dashed.
Yes, I remember it pretty well.
Yeah, and he's not the Messiah.
Yes.
So they're looking downcast, and he comes up alongside them and you know, says, what are you talking about? And they tell him, you know, all the things that have taken place in these days. And he replies, what sort of things?
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to tell him all that's happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who is a prophet, mighty indeed. And so, as you said, he tells them, oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke.
Mm.
And he explains to them, was it not necessary for the Messiah that he should suffer these things and enter into his glory. Mm-hmm. And so then he begins with Moses and all the prophets. Mm-hmm. And then as they go on, they're about to, you know, take their rest, and Jesus is giving them the indication that he's going to continue walking further, mm-hmm. but they invite him to come in and have dinner with them.
Yeah.
And at the table, he breaks, takes the bread, says the blessing, and breaks it, just as he does at the Last Supper, and they recognize him in the breaking
yes.
of the bread.
Yes.
I mean, it is so profoundly important that they recognize him in the breaking of the bread, because he gave his very life for us and said, this is my body that'll be given for you.
Yes.
You know, your fathers ate manna in the desert, but this is but I'm the true bread come down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks of himself in those ways. And,
and he's born in a place that means house of bread.
Right. And so, you know, as I'm looking at the passage here, once they go back to Jerusalem, so they ran back to Jerusalem,
and they
told everybody else,
yeah,
and the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. They yeah, tell them that.
They tell them that. I think that's so awesome, because when they realize, first they say their hearts are burning, then they recognize him when he breaks the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when they started walking, like you just said, they were pretty depressed.
Oh, yeah.
They were sad. They were probably thinking, well, let's go home. We'll have something to eat. We'll just watch TV, go to bed early. Just yeah. like, this has been a horrible weekend.
Yeah.
It's just, and now when they have this experience, and I'm sure you've all had the experience of your hearts burning when you're hearing the word. You see the bread, you know, the communion bread, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
It's communion not only with him, but it's called communion because we all take it together. So it's this binding of him and us yeah. and us together. And this profoundly impacts them. So they don't say, oh, well, that was a nice experience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm glad we got to do that. Now, let's see if there's any movies on we got to watch.
Yeah.
No, it says that same hour, they went back to Jerusalem.
They ran back.
Yes. Now, had they been kind of trudging along the 7 miles being sad, they probably went back a lot faster.
Yeah.
I don't know how old these guys were. I don't think they're going to run all the way back, but they probably walked pretty fast. Because they couldn't wait to share the experience, and they went right to the upper room. They knew right where the apostles were. So like you said, they had to have been very closely associated with them.
Yeah.
They didn't go around town saying, gee, I wonder where Peter is. They went right to where he was because they couldn't wait to share the word that they heard and the experience that they had with him, with the bread, with their friends. And I'm pretty sure this has happened to each of us who have had an experience with the Lord. You know, when you come to know the Lord personally, when you have a profound spiritual experience like this, you don't say, oh, that was nice. And I'm glad I had that experience. You want to share it with everybody. I mean, in the scripture, look how many places in the gospel somebody meets Jesus and they go and want to tell everybody. Our friend, the woman at the well, and Andrew and Philip. And I mean, all those guys, as soon as they meet him, they run and find people and say, hey, guess who we found? So imagine these guys.
Yeah, because it even says, you know, this is in verse 22. It says, some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. So they were there in the morning with this group. They were there in the upper room with this group.
Yeah.
And then they set out to Emmaus later that day.
Yes.
And Jesus catches up with them. But see, in our culture today, in our church structure today, many people are so consumed with the division within the church that they totally ignore the magnificent and miraculous bonding that happens spiritually with Christ when we become a believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And thus, it diminishes the body of Christ, mm-hmm. and it diminishes the witness mm-hmm. to Christ working in and through us.
Yes.
It's this simple act of taking bread and sharing it with those you call friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the mystery that takes place in the body of Christ spiritually, that takes place because we are one with him, not because of anything we've done.
Right.
Because what he has done for us.
Right.
He paid a debt that we could not pay.
Right.
So lest anybody boast, which we can't, mm-hmm. we're included into this family of God because yes. of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what denomination you're from. It doesn't matter what heritage you're from. None of that matters, because without Christ, you're still dead in your sins.
Yes, exactly.
You can boast all you want about your ancestry.
Doesn't matter which pew you're sitting in.
You're dead in your sins, because unless you have Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it's not just receiving him as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
But what do you do after that? What is the response to Jesus Christ hanging on that cross?
Yes.
And shedding his blood for you?
Yes.
What is my response to that? Yes. Do I just go, wow, thanks, Lord. I really appreciate what you did for me. Now, I've got some other things to take care of right now, and I'll get back to you in a few weeks.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No. It demands.
It demands my very soul.
Yes.
Because he purchased my soul with that. So it demands my very life.
Yes.
And when people say, well, you know, I've gone to church once this week for 54 minutes. What else do you want?
Yes. I gave a dollar to the homeless guy once. What else do you want me to do?
And I don't want to say that we want to be judgmental about that, because
right.
everybody's in a different place with their walk with the Lord.
Sure.
But contemplating what Christ did for us is something that the early believers understood 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the mystery of, it's understanding the Paschal mystery, mm-hmm. which is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's something that is so profoundly inherent in the early church, and all the early believers, they understood this to the core of their very being.
Amen.
And it wasn't just a passing thought.
No.
They died for their faith.
That's right.
They were executed just as the Lord was, just as Jesus was, for their faith.
Yes.
And because they were so deeply rooted in the death and resurrection of Christ, they understood fully what it meant to be a believer and a follower of the Christ.
Yes.
It wasn't just, oh man, you guys got you got some weird ideas over there. I'm going to go start my own church. There's none of that.
It's not a casual thing.
Right.
I mean, like you know, we always say, and anybody from any of my Bible study groups listening will know how many times I say this. If you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get what happened there.
Where have I heard that?
Yeah.
But, oh, that's right.
You know, it's people now have this casual, I love Jesus, he loves me, isn't this nice?
Yeah.
Let's play a couple of songs and go home.
Yeah.
And that profound mystery, that profound, I don't even know what you could call it, the emotions that are involved in it.
Yeah.
Are missing now, because it demands complete surrender. And it's not a matter of, yeah, he was the Messiah and he died, and you know, it's really terrible that they killed him, but then he rose again and
everything's cool.
Everything's cool now.
Yeah.
No, that's not. And when Jesus encounters these guys, I mean, these guys are obviously profoundly affected by this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they're taking it casually.
Right.
But this really shows you the importance of studying the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only scripture here, of course, was the Old Testament, the Tanakh.
Right.
I mean, clearly, you know, Jesus could have said, well, you know, if you wait about another 30 or 40 years, there'll be some other guys that will write some books about this and you'll get it better. Right. No, he's telling them through the Torah, the books of Moses, through the prophets, everything that was about him, mm-hmm. and how the Christ had to suffer.
Right.
And then he was going to rise. And why don't you guys get this?
Yeah.
And it's while they're saying this, their heart is burning. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you remember the experience when you first meet the Lord,
mm-hmm.
I mean, saying your heart's burning is putting it mildly.
Exactly.
With like everything even in your physical body reacts to it.
I mean, your whole sense of time kind of evaporates.
Yes, exactly.
Because, you know, I love the story that you tell about the one gentleman who was in the supermarket and the Holy Spirit revealed to him that Jesus is the Messiah.
Rabbi Walter,
And he left his car in the parking lot and ran home.
Yeah.
So think about these guys just running back to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You know, it probably didn't take them very long to
so
do that.
So excited.
Because they were
so
excited.
They didn't think about grabbing a horse or, dude, they just ran.
Well, they were impelled by the Spirit of Christ.
That's right. And the idea that they wanted to share their experience.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to share. You know, if we're embarrassed to tell our neighbor about Jesus, mm-hmm. or if we're embarrassed to tell somebody at work about him, or if we're embarrassed to tell, I don't know, somebody at school about him, you know, what kind of faith is that?
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be a scoffer.
Sure. And it's not, you know, like we always say, it's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I used to witness to people in the office, I would say to them, you know, when you leave here, you may think I'm a crazy old man.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't care. That's fine. Because mm-hmm. it's not about me. What you think about me is irrelevant to this whole question.
Yeah.
And it's interesting you mentioned about the, you know, no matter what denomination you're in, this is a word that kept coming to me all through this past Holy Week. You know, we got to get past this bickering and arguing and debating that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Among all the denominations and who's criticizing who, and this one's criticizing that, and this one's criticizing the other one, and this one, and, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit can't possibly be working over there, and the Holy Spirit can't, we gotta put a stop to that.
I mean, division is not, something that is happening in our culture right now before our very eyes is we are seeing a separation between light and darkness.
Yes, exactly.
Profoundly.
Profoundly. Maybe more so than any other time.
Yeah. I mean, profoundly. It's there right in your face. People are saying just the most outrageous, blatant lies.
Yes.
And you're seeing a separation of almost the weeds from the wheat.
Yes.
Yeah,
it seems like you're seeing more of the weeds growing than the wheat.
And I'm not professing to know the time that Jesus is coming back, because nobody does except the Father.
I know. I hope it's today.
We can hope. But it is... You know, we've talked a lot about 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
And Jew and Gentile worshiping
yes,
together as one new man.
New man.
What Jesus did for us on the cross and through his blood is to unite us. That he broke down the wall of that barrier, that hostility. Now, because people are human and mm-hmm. their hearts are predisposed to their earthly conditions,
mm-hmm.
we have the propensity to either look at truth and accept it, or look at truth and reject it because it doesn't fit my narrative.
Right.
Or doesn't fit my agenda.
Right.
So, if I am truly seeking God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my strength, and when I say God, I mean Adonai, mm-hmm. the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
There's a distinction.
Yes.
There are other people out there that are saying this God or that God.
Yes.
Okay.
It's all the same.
And we're all one, and this is all
yeah,
the same.
Yeah.
It's not all the same.
No, it's not.
Because there's only been one person in this world, and that is Jesus Christ, who laid down his life, mm-hmm. bled, and died for you.
Yes. Who had the power to lay it down and to take it up again.
Exactly. He says, nobody takes my life from me. I willingly lay it down, and I willingly raise it up again.
Yes.
So that is so profoundly important, because in understanding what Christ has done, a lot of the arguments that we try to hold on to in the face of the cross come to nothing.
Yes.
Because they're simply man holding on to his own idea of what should be.
Yes.
God does not, you know, Isaiah 55 is so profound, because my thoughts are not your thoughts mm-hmm. and my ways are not your ways.
Yes. As far as the heaven and above the earth.
Yeah. But how many times do we in the church go, oh, that can't actually be God working. Yeah. Certainly not.
Yeah. And as you point out, not only are we seeing this darkness now that's, it's not going to overtake the light, but sometimes it seems like it's going
right.
to. I mean, right now is a, you know, I have to admit, I get pretty down sometimes thinking about this.
Yeah.
I didn't used to, but lately it seems so overwhelming.
It does.
But, you know, now the tolerance, as we always talk about, has gotten to the point of, oh, well, it's all the same, you know, whatever God you believe in. Well, that doesn't solve the sin problem. That
right.
doesn't address the sin problem, whatever God you believe in.
Right.
I mean, Jesus died on the cross for you, bled for you. His blood paid for all your sins.
Right.
You can't make up for even one of your sins by giving money to the soup kitchen or helping the little old lady across the street or stopping to help somebody change a flat tire. You've still got your sins. Those mm-hmm. are good things to do, but that doesn't get rid of your sin.
Right.
His blood gets rid of your sin.
Right.
And for Jesus to be dying in that horrific, brutal manner, if he would have looked down from the cross and said, you know, if you want to follow me, that'd be awesome. I'd love to have you. But, you know, if you want to follow somebody else, I mean, that's cool too. You know, if you want to follow Buddha, if you want to follow, you know, Krishna, and pretty soon there's going to be somebody named Muhammad. And, you know, mm-hmm. if you want to follow them, I mean, that's okay too. I mean, I'm doing this, but, you know, if you want to follow somebody. No, he doesn't say that.
And in
so
the garden,
this is the only way.
And in the garden, he didn't say that.
That's right. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Yeah.
He's talking about that cup of judgment that he's going to drink. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to drink it.
The cup of judgment that I rightly should drink.
Yes, that we are supposed to drink.
Yeah.
You know, back in Isaiah, oh, and I'm blanking out the chapter. Might be 51. You know, there's a verse about God shows Israel the cup. It says, this is the cup of judgment. You have to drink it. And if you look in the cup, you see the dregs and the all kind of horrible stuff. The cup is the judgment. And then three or four verses later, he says, I'm going to take the cup from you,
yeah.
and you won't have to drink it.
Yeah, it's in Isaiah 51:17.
Oh, good. So when you look back at even what happened in the garden, let alone the things that each of us have done personally, we deserve to drink that cup.
Yeah.
Buddha can't drink the cup for you. Muhammad can't drink the cup for you.
No.
Only Jesus can drink the cup. He says, no one comes to the Father but by me. Mm-hmm. There's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. It says by which we must be saved, not
right.
might be saved or, well, you should consider Jesus. I mean, you know, follow whoever you want, but, you know, consider this. No, he says there's nobody else. This is the only name with a capital N.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, you know, just like observant Jews won't use God's name.
Right.
You know, sometimes they commonly call him Hashem. That means the name,
mm-hmm.
you know, the name with a capital N. You know, which also applies to Jesus, is something so overwhelmingly sacred and profound that we have to watch how we use that name, obviously.
Yeah.
But to think that the name would die for us is such an overwhelming thought that it should occupy most of our thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, the creator becomes the sin bearer. You know, the mm-hmm. just person, the just one becomes the condemned one.
Yeah.
So that we're not condemned.
Right.
And like you say, in the early church, I mean, this is what propelled those guys to leave that upper room. And even our friend Peter preached a heck of a sermon.
And see, one thing that we have to understand is the handing on of the faith in the early church was not just saying a sinner's prayer.
Right. Exactly.
It was a profound examination
yes,
of conscience.
Absolutely.
And a profound examination of what Jesus has done for you on the cross.
Yes.
It was the Paschal mystery, the mystagogy.
Yes.
And this is what's lost in our culture today.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody reads a passage of scripture and a little knowledge is dangerous. And they think, oh, I got the whole thing figured out. Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
And there's so little scriptural knowledge now.
Yeah.
That people know a verse here and there. And wait a minute.
And they also hear music.
Wait a minute. We're still doing Road to Emmaus, is that right?
Yeah, we are.
Well, I guess we'll be back. Well, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that in this time of the Easter season of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that you would contemplate on the mystery of his life, death, and resurrection, and bring into your heart more profoundly the sacrifice that he made, that he died on the cross for your sins, and rose to bring us new life with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.